I want to speak to you this morning on this topic, and this is probably going to continue in the coming weeks, not this particular message per se, but this thought of considering the end of your life. Considering the end of your life. I've been studying in the Bible all those places in scriptures where it uses the word end or talks about to the end or anything that relates to the end of our life. And I want you to have to think about this all year long. And I'm going to preach messages that will maybe go many different directions, really. But a part of them will have to this thought to do with the end. And when it comes to the end of a matter or the end of your life. And I want to preach this morning on this topic, consider the end of your life. Consider the end of your life. How do you want your life to end up? I want you to think about that with me this morning. How do you want your life to end up? I mean in what you've done and what you've accomplished and in who and what you've lived for, what things you've lived for. If you want your life to end up good, then maybe there are some things that you and I ought to think about. Maybe there are some lessons from the Bible that we ought to consider about, you know, what can help us to have a prosperous end or a good end. What can help us maybe to have the end of our life and the end of our relationships and the end of our work and so on be something that is significant, be something that is meaningful, be something that is worthwhile. And so I want to share with you this morning, it's very simple message, but it was some verses in scripture that spoke to me about this thought of considering the end of your life. I want to share with you a few truths this morning that will help you and I to consider the end of our lives and to think about those things that really matter. Let's pray together. Why don't you ask God to speak to your heart and help you today? Why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, challenge me, convict me. I don't want to stand up here and preach something to others that I don't take seriously in my own life. And Father, when I come to the end of my life, I want to have lived for things that really mattered. I want to have done things that will have had an impact for eternity. God, I want to have been wise in the way I lived. I want to have had a good home and a good family. Godly family that sought to please you and honor you. God, teach us some things this morning. Teach me something this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First thought this morning, number one, be careful to not go back into the world after you get saved, because that will only lead to a bitter end. Be careful to not go back into the world after you get saved, because that will only lead to a bitter end. Look with me at this verse, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 20. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 20. The Bible says there, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For if after they've escaped," listen, if you've escaped, if you've been set free, the Bible here is warning us, don't go back into the world. Don't get entangled again in the world. God is warning us to not go back. Don't turn back. Don't go back. Don't get tangled up in the world again after you get saved. Don't get tangled up in this old wicked, sinful, polluted world. Don't let the things of this world be what you live for. Don't let the things of this world dirty your life and stain your life. Oh, before we got saved, we may have lived for ourselves, and we may have walked in our flesh and lived for sin and just done those things that are pleasing to us. But don't go back to that after you get saved. If you've been saved, you've been set free from the pollutions of this world. You've been set free, and the Bible says don't get tangled up in that again. The end of that choice to go back to the world will only end up making your life worse. Paul wrote this also in Galatians 5:1, and he said, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You've been set free. You've escaped. So stand fast where you are now over here. God set you free from this life of sin. Don't get tangled up in it again. Don't get messed up in it again. You've been set free. So stand fast in the freedom and liberty that He's given you. Live the life that you ought to live now as a child of God. He says, stand fast. And it says in that verse, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Then down in verses 7 and 8 of that same chapter, Galatians 5, it says this. Paul said this, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Obviously there were some people there in the church at Galatia that Paul was concerned about. He said, you were set free. Don't get messed up again in the world. Don't get tangled up again in the world. He says, you were starting to run your Christian race well. You were doing good. What's happened? Who is hindering you spiritually? Who is hindering your faith? What is maybe causing you to draw back or to turn back or to go back to the world? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Listen, God called you out. God's not calling you to go back into the world. God's not calling you back into that old sinful mess of this world. He wants us to be different as believers. Oh, be careful that you don't turn back. Be careful to not go back into the world after you get saved, because that will only lead to a bitter end. Satan may hinder you. Fools and scorners may try to dissuade you of what you believe. They may try to discourage you from where you're standing. And sadly, at times, there may even be a backslidden or unfaithful or ungodly, worldly-minded Christians who may try to get you to live less than what God has for you. There may be some that, because their lack of consecration to Christ, because they sometimes don't want to go all out for Christ, they may try to pull you back. Oh, don't go too crazy. Don't be too fanatical. Don't be too faithful. Oh, you don't have to do that. Oh, you don't have to listen to that. There may be some that would try to even hinder you. They may try to persuade you to walk with them because that makes them feel better. There's others walking with them in their carnal way. There may be some that will hinder you from running the Christian race and ultimately living the victorious Christian race that God wants for you. And having all the success in your Christian life that God wants you to listen. Don't turn back. Don't go back. Don't get entangled again with this world. You've been set free. So statement number one this morning is very simple. Be careful to not go back into the world after you get saved. Because that will only lead to a bitter end. Do you want your life to have a bitter end? Do you want your life to be a heartache and tragedy? Do you want your life to be such that in the end, when you face God, it's disappointing to Him? That, hey, I set you free. I saved you. I wanted you to live for me, but you turned back. You went back into the world. You started living for yourself and for sin. Why did you do that? Oh, be careful to not go back into the world after you get saved, because that will only lead to a bitter end. Number two, be careful to choose. Be careful to choose to become a servant of God, to yield your body and life to do those things that please Christ and that will bring forth good fruit in the end of your life. Turn with me over to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. Stay awake on me now. It's still that time where the heat's cranking out. It's a bit warm in here. If you stay for the afternoon services, people can testify, it gets a little bit nicer temperature by then. So we can't own much control over these thermostats. So, all right, here we go. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look at it with me. I want you to see what the Bible says. Here's point number two. Let me repeat it to you again. Be careful. Be careful to choose to become a servant of God, to yield your body and life, to do those things that please Christ, and will bring forth good fruit in the end of your life. Do you want to have lived for things that just brought forth bad fruit? Do you want to have lived in a way that you brought forth no fruit to God? Where we are to be fruitful, right? Why not live your life saying, you know, I'm choosing. Each one of these statements this morning, they all begin with two words. Be careful. Be careful. You got to think about it. You're going to have to carefully choose these things. You got to be careful to make sure you don't go back into the world. You're going to have to be careful to choose to become that servant of God. It doesn't just happen on accident. You've got to choose to become a servant of God, to yield to Him, so that at the end of your life, when it's all finished, when it's all said and done, you've brought forth good fruit, lasting fruit in your life. Romans chapter 6, verses 19 through 22, and I may interrupt sometimes to add in some extra words, but Romans 6, 19 to 22, it says this, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity." In other words, he's talking about before you got saved, you always, you know, gave yourself to the flesh and sin and doing what you wanted to do. You lived for self. But then he says, even so now, in other words, now that you're saved, yield your members. What is that referring to? It's speaking about the parts of your body. Yield your members, yield the parts of your body, yield your eyes and yield your ears and yield your tongue and yield your lips and yield your hands and yield your feet. Look with me, it goes on and says, "Even so now yield your members," in other words, the parts of your body, "servants to righteousness unto holiness." Verse 20. "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed?" You know, if we're living for Christ, we sometimes ought to be even ashamed to maybe speak of some of the things we did before we got saved. Well, I was lost then. I shouldn't have lived that way, but I did. And thank God by His grace, He saved me. There was no good fruit in that. But now that I'm saved, I want there to be good fruit. He's saying there was no good fruit, no righteousness, nothing productive in the life you lived before you got saved. The end result of living in sin and living for sin and living for pleasure and self is absolutely nothing but death. That's the end of it. But look at verse 22. Romans 6, 22. He says, "But now being made free from sin." In other words, being made free, you've been saved. You've been set free from the bondage of sin. He says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life." When you get saved and start living for Jesus Christ instead of living for sin and self, then you will produce a life of good fruit. You will produce a life of righteousness. You will produce a life of holiness unto the Lord. Good fruit and good works that are pleasing to Him. Can I tell you something? Becoming a servant to God, becoming a servant of God, is far better in the end than having lived life as a servant to sin. What does sin produce? No good fruit. Oh, there's pleasure in sin for a season, the Bible says, but sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Sin doesn't bring good things. You know, becoming an alcoholic, spending all your life lying and being dishonest, is that going to bring good fruit in the end? No. Being a cheat, being selfish, being an angry person, does that bring forth good fruit in the end? No. It just makes things worse. Listen, it doesn't matter what it may be, but listen, the fruit of sin is going to be nothing good. He says, now that you're saved, you choose. You've got to choose. Yield yourself. Servants to God. Why? Because the end of that kind of life will produce good fruit. Good fruit. We're supposed to live a new life in Christ, in which our hands and our feet and our ears and our eyes and our lips are used differently than they were before we got saved. Where our mind is used differently than before we got saved. We think differently. You know what? Now my feet should be yielded. These feet should be yielded to God. To God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. They should be yielded to Him. My hands should be yielded to God. You know what? That I would give to help others. That I would give to God. That I would give to others. That I'd use my hands to serve. That I'd use my hands to help others in the way that Jesus Christ would. That's what being a servant of God is about. Yielding your members, the parts of your body. My lips should be yielded as servants to God, so that with my mouth I will only speak those things that would edify and encourage others. My tongue should be yielded to serve God, so that I become a mouthpiece to speak for God and to try to be a witness for Him and to tell others about Jesus Christ, to share the gospel. Can I ask you something? Can I ask myself something? What is going to be the fruit at the end of our lives? What fruit will you have? Will your life, will your body, will the members of your body have produced any fruit or any righteousness or any good service to God? Statement number two this morning is this: be careful to choose. Listen, Eric, you've got to be careful to choose to become the servant of God. To yield your body, to yield your life, to yield your members as servants to God, as instruments that God can use. To do those things that please Christ. And that will bring forth good fruit in the end of your life. Number one, I said, be careful. Be careful to not go back into the world after you've been saved. Hey, stand fast over here. You've been set free. Don't get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't get entangled again with the life of sin. Don't get messed up with the world again and the world's ways. Be careful. That will be a bitter end if you do that. Then I say number two, be careful to choose to become a servant of God. To yield your body, your life, the parts of your body, to do those things that please Christ and that will bring forth good fruit in the end of your life. Statement number three, be careful to not follow the wrong examples. Be careful to not follow the wrong examples. Be careful to not follow the wrong people, or you will end up one day in a place where you would rather not end up. Be careful to not follow the wrong examples. Be careful to not follow the wrong people, Colin. Or one day in the end of your life, you'll end up in a place where you would rather not have ended up. You know what? We've all got to be making decisions about that now. We got to be careful. Because if you're not wise in the choices you make, you'll end up one day in a place where right now you'd say, that's not where I want to end up. That's not what I want for my life. But the direction you choose and the people you're going to let influence you and the people who you choose to follow is going to determine where you end up. Be careful. Be careful. Look at Philippians chapter 3 with me. Philippians chapter 3 in the New Testament. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Paul wrote this in Philippians 3 verses 17 to 19. Philippians 3, 17 to 19. He said, brethren, be followers together of me. And mark them which walk, so ye have us for an example, or in other words, an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Paul is telling them to carefully choose who they follow, and to be sure to not follow the wrong example, or their life will end up a mess. If you want your life to end up a mess, go ahead. Follow the wrong example. Follow the wrong kind of people. Go ahead. But if you want your life to end up in the right place, if you want your life to end up blessed, be careful. Be careful about who you choose to follow. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 7, God tells us what kind of examples we should follow. He tells us what kind of example will help us to end up in the right place at the end of our life. In Hebrews 13 and verse number 7, it says this, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That word conversation means their lifestyle, their way of living. He said, you're going to be careful. You're going to choose. There's going to be some whose faith is worth following. There are going to be some who will have faithfully shared with you the word of God, and maybe their faith is worth following. You know how you're going to know that, though? Look at the end of their life. Look and see what is becoming the fruits in their life. Look and see how far down the road they are and where they're ending up in their life. Do you want to follow someone whose end is destruction? Do you want to follow someone whose faith and example in life is worth following and it will lead you to the right end? What do you and I want to do? What should we do? We should remember, like Hebrews 13 tells us, Hebrews 13, 7, remember those who have faithfully and honestly loved us and taught us the word of God. If you've been blessed to have that in your life, someone or maybe several someones who have faithfully tried to teach you the Word of God. Maybe it's been a pastor or pastors. Maybe you were blessed with godly parents who tried to teach you the Word of God. Maybe you're blessed with Sunday school teachers who faithfully tried to teach you the Word of God. If you've been blessed with that, then can I tell you something? Consider the end of their life. That might just be someone that you'd want to follow. If there's been somebody that has faithfully stayed with the Word of God and followed the Word of God, and they've tried to share with you the Word of God, consider the end of their life and consider if that's something you'd like in your own life. What has their lifestyle produced? What fruit has their life produced? What kind of marriage has their life produced? What kind of home has their faith produced? They may not be perfect, but I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about is their home and their lifestyle, has it been producing good fruit? And I'm not talking about hypocrites either. You say, well, I've observed, you know, this and that, and people who maybe say one thing and live another thing. Okay, well, that's not someone whose faith is worth following. But if you know some that have faithfully tried to share the Word of God, you can look at some and consider kind of what the end of their life is seeming to be like, and there's good fruit in their life. That may be somebody that you want to follow. Consider it. Oh, be careful about not following the wrong examples. Consider the end result of the life of those who have strived to love God with all their heart, and those who have faithfully taught the Word of God, and those who have strived to live according to the Word of God. Isn't that someone whose faith and whose example is worth following? If you want to end up where they ended up, then maybe it would be a good idea to follow them. Follow their example, follow their faith, follow their trust in God. Be careful. Be careful to not follow the wrong examples. Number one, I said this. Be careful to not go back into the world after you get saved, because it will only lead to a bitter end. Number two, be careful to choose to become a servant of God. Yield your body, yield your life, yield the parts of your body to say, to be servants of God, because I want in the end of my life to have lived in a way that it bears good fruit. It produces fruit in the end, fruit that is everlasting, fruit that is eternal, fruit that is good. Number three, be careful to not follow the wrong examples. Be careful to not follow the wrong people, or you will end up one day in a place where you would rather not end up. Statement number four. Statement number four. Be careful. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, if you would. Psalm 39. Psalm chapter 39. Book of Psalms is probably right about the middle of your Bible. Psalm chapter 39. Statement number four. Be careful to not just live your life for money, or you will be left with nothing when it comes to the end. Be careful to not just live your life for money, or you'll be left with nothing when it comes to the end. I read about a man recently who, I'm pretty sure he may have passed away now, or he's close to, he's very elderly. But this man who, he kept it secret for a long time. He was the owner of just a massive, 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 massive company. And he'd never let it really be known that he was the stockholder. He held it in a foundation. He lived his life on just the smallest of things and the simplest of life, and gave away billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. One of the richest men in the world. And finally, it kind of came out near the end of his life by accident. He tried to do it all in secret through a foundation and so on. But something came out where they had to reveal who this guy was. Can I ask you something? What are you going to have lived your life for? That man wasn't even a Christian man from the things I've read about him. But he was a man who was determined, I don't need much. I don't need much. You know, if I've got a car that works well, and I've got a home, and what do I need? If I've had this ability where, you know, to make a lot of money, what can I do with it to help people? Wasn't even a saved man, and yet he had that perspective. My statement is this: Be careful to not just live for your life for money, or you will be left with nothing when it comes to the end. Psalm chapter 39 and verse 4 to 6 says this. Psalm 39 verse 4 to 6. Lord, make me to know mine end. Lord, make me to know mine end. In other words, he's saying, Lord, help me to know. Help me to understand the brevity of life. Help me to understand just how short my time here on earth really is compared to eternity. Lord, help me to know my end. Let's begin reading it again, verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure. The measure kind of referring to like the length. Help me to know mine end and the measure, the length of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. In other words, Lord, my life, the span of my life is really just about the width of my hand. It's so short and small compared to eternity. Help me to understand mine end, Lord. Help me to understand how you've made my life that really it's just so small compared to eternity that I can't even reach to explain what that is. He says this, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Selah means think about this. Stop and think about it. The psalmist is saying that even the number of years he's lived, even that the age he's reached, even the things he's accomplished are like nothing compared to God in eternity. Notice verse 6, Psalm 39, 6. It says, surely every man walketh in a vain show, and surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who will gather them? Who shall gather them? God's word reminds us that men oftentimes live for fame and fortune. Men oftentimes live wanting everyone to see all their great accomplishments. Men many times want people to know, you know, these are the businesses I've built. These are the successes that I've had. These are the awards that I've won. This is the money that I've made. These are the treasures that I have. These are the things that I've been able to buy. But can I remind you of something? At the end of your life, when you die, it all gets left behind. All of it. When you die, you're not taking any of it with you. I've never yet seen a funeral car. What do they call those things? A hearse. I've never seen one of those with a U-Haul trailer, you know, hooked to the back of it. And them getting to, okay, you're going to get to take this with you to heaven. You're going to get to take this with you to hell, wherever you're going. No, you leave it all behind. We don't get to take it. At the end of your life, when you die, it all gets left behind. All that you've gathered up for yourself will be left behind. Can I tell you something? Consider the end of your life. Consider the end of your life. Here's statement number 5 quickly, and this is the last one. Statement number 5. Be careful to do right now the good things that you know you ought to do before your life has ended. Statement number 5, be careful to do right now, BJ. Be careful to do right now, Dennis. Be careful to do right now, Cheryl. Be careful to do now the good things that you know you ought to do before your life has ended. Dennis, how old are you? I'm not trying to embarrass you. My dad was 45 years old when he passed away. How old are you? 46. He's already older than my dad was. My dad passed away. Listen, we never know when we're going to die, do we? You better be careful to do right now the good things that you know you ought to do before your life has ended. In James chapter number 4, James chapter 4, look at that quickly if you can. In the New Testament, towards the end of your New Testament, just before the books of Peter there where we were, James chapter 4 and verse number 14. James chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. In other words, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know when we'll breathe our last breath. We don't know how near the end our life may actually be. And in James 4:14, it says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life is short. What have you and I lived for? What have you done for God? What have you accomplished for Christ? What have you done that matters for eternity? what have you done? I'm not asking you what have you talked about doing or what have you planned to do one day or what your intentions were to, you know, one day I'll become faithful to that or one day I'll get involved in that or one day I'll do, no, what have you done? I'm asking, what have you done now? If your life ended tonight, what have you done for Christ? What have you done for Christ? Look at it again. James 4. We're going to read verses 14 to 17. James 4, verses 14 to 17. It says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Listen, it's foolish to just boast or talk of what you're going to do one day and not do anything at all. Get busy doing the good things that you ought to be doing for the Lord. Don't wait to serve Christ because your life will soon be ended. Don't wait to give because your life will soon be ended. Don't wait to get saved because your life will soon be ended. Don't wait to surrender your life or your love to Christ because your life will soon be ended. Don't wait to get serious about loving the Lord with all your heart. Your life will soon be ended. Don't wait to witness to that person who needs Jesus Christ. Listen, your life will soon be ended. Don't wait to forgive that person that you're holding a grudge against in your heart. Your life will soon be ended. Don't wait to invest your money and resources into things that really matter for eternity because your life, my life, will soon be ended. My kids try to remind me, I'm old, I'm 43. They think I'm old. 43 is not old. Right, Mark? Yeah. My life will soon be ended. It really will. And what will I have lived for? I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to stop there. As you're turning there to Matthew chapter 6, let me read you something in James 5. It says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. Ye have heaped up treasure together for the last days. John and James, you know, talks us about life and life is but a vapor and what are you living for? And then it talks about people that all they did do was live for money. And they heaped up their treasures, but it's not eternal. You know, men so often gather up money and treasures for themselves, but yet we can't take any of it with us when we die. Why don't we right now determine, I'm going to start living for eternity. Right now, I'm going to do the good things that I know I ought to do and should do and have an ability to do. I'm going to do it now before my life ends. Why don't we start right now doing the things we ought to do before our life has ended? Matthew chapter 6, you got it? Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19. Matthew 6:19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. It's kind of similar to what it said in James. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Where thieves break through and steal. Listen to me, I watched a video about the awful conditions in the country of Venezuela. Venezuela is under a communist dictatorship and it is one of the worst conditions in the world right now. And they are living where, you know, to just even somebody to get a loaf of bread, if a loaf of bread was available, could cost you like an entire paycheck. It is just awful under the dictatorship and so on. And people are doing all kinds of things. Because of the economic situation in that country, people will steal, rob, kill, do anything they can to get a little bit of food or money. On this video that I watched, I saw where a group of people have dug up the grave sites of people that were buried several decades ago in Venezuela. Because it used to be that there was some generations of Venezuelans that they used to bury them with their treasure. They used to bury them in their caskets with, you know, money and gold and silver and the things that they had. And so now people, even people who, you know, that's thought of, you know, should be sacred and so on, there are people that are going and digging up graves and stealing even that gold and silver and the things that these people have been buried with. Now thieves are doing what? Breaking in and stealing it. It's like the Bible said. Listen, when you come to the end of your life, what will you have lived for? Will you have lived for things of this earth or things that are eternal? What good will you have done with your life? What good will you have done with your money? Listen, you can't take it with you to heaven when you die. The only thing that you can do is send it on ahead by investing your money in things that are eternal. Look at the Bible with me again. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I simply say this, if you know what is good and right to do, do it now before your life has ended. Do it now before your life has ended. Be careful to do right now the good things that you know you ought to do before your life has ended. Be careful to do it. Be careful to do it. I said, number one, be careful to not go back into the world after you get saved. That will only lead to a bitter end. Don't go back. Don't turn back. Number two, be careful to choose to become a servant of God, to yield your body and life to be servants of God so that in the end I've got life, I've got fruit that's eternal, fruit that matters, fruit that is good. Number three, be careful to not follow the wrong examples. If you follow the wrong people, you will one day end up in a place where right now you'd rather not end up. Be careful. Number four, be careful to not just live your life for money or you'll be left with nothing when it comes to the end. And number five, be careful to do right now the good things that you know you ought to do before your life has ended. The things you ought to do for Christ, do it. Do it. Do you need to get saved? Do it. Do it. Do you need to get something right with somebody else or something right with God? Do it. Do it. The good that you know you ought to do, do it now before your life has ended. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I pray that these five simple truths would be a challenge to us. That we would have to think on them. That we would not be able to not think about them. Because Lord, one day soon, even before we think, our life will have ended. It comes sooner than we think. And young people better live for God. And old people better live for God. And middle-aged people and married people and single people and teenagers ought to live for God.